Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
They asked me how I knew my true love was true.
That's Tony Williams, ladies and gentlemen, the great lead singer of the Platters. What a voice. What a group. One of my favorites. Welcome back. It's good to be back. I could listen to those guys all day long. I bet Tony Paradiso likes the Platters. I'm not sure. I haven't asked him before, but we're going to. Tony's the author of Management Mindfield. He's one of our top management experts in our brain trust. He's our good friend, Tony Paradiso. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, they don't make music like that anymore, but I
you
think we're showing our age, aren't we?
You probably are not old enough to remember the Platters, Tony. Yeah, they're great, and I thought you might like those guys. Hey, Tony, yeah. What's happening out there in the world that small business owners need to be paying more attention to?
Well, you know, I think, you know, we chatted a little bit about economic conditions, and I think regardless if you're a small business owner or a large business owner, you really need to kind of understand the pulse of the economy so you can plan for it and kind of understand how it might impact your particular business in terms of consumer spending power. Because our economy is driven by consumer spending. Two-thirds of it is consumer-related. So anything that impacts that has a ripple effect into small businesses.
Even if a lot of our business is business-to-business, somebody sells to a consumer ultimately, don't they?
That's correct. And so you need to kind of understand your customer, who your customer is selling to, their customers, and how their customers may get impacted. You know, it was funny to me as I watch all the economic pundits finally come to the realization that the high price of energy is causing a drag on the economy. Well, duh. You know, so
where did they
finally
get that revelation, huh?
Yeah, what a revelation. You know, the extra $20 I'm spending a week on gasoline can't be spent someplace else. That affects the economy.
Who would have
wow.
thought that, right?
They must have missed that class in at Harvard, I guess. I don't know.
What do you think is the reason why, you know, for a long time, Tony, we blamed, and I did, I attributed the increases in oil for a long time, say a year or so ago, to supply and demand because some of the third world countries, China, Italy, I mean India, China and India, and others were ramping up, their economies were growing, they were demanding more oil, and so it was costing us more because it was becoming more expensive because the demand was greater. But within the last year, we now know that there are some other influences, and I'd like for you to comment on that.
Yeah, you know, the oil industry is kind of tricky, and there's a lot of misconceptions about it. There are two factors, really. There's the price of oil, and there's the price of gasoline. And, of course, we're probably more attuned to the price of gas than anything else, and that's a refinery problem. But in general, it's correct that overall world demand has increased. China has been the driving force, followed by India. And China's consumption of oil outstripped projections. The other problem with China is they're one of the most inefficient energy countries in the world, and so they don't.
They have a lot of two-cycle engines over there, don't they?
Yeah, for every dollar of GDP, they use like 30 times more energy than Japan, just to kind of give you an idea. And so unfortunately, because their infrastructure's outdated, they consume more energy than they would need. But you've got a twofold problem. You do have demand rising. You have a premium they call the terrorist premium, because the problem is the gap between supply and demand is so small now that any interruption to supply will cause a problem, right? So there's no buffer there.
And
so anytime you lose a pipeline or a refinery, or you get unrest in the Middle East or in Russia, all of a sudden you see a jolt in pricing.
And that invites the speculators, doesn't it?
That's correct. And you do have, there's a speculative element to the pricing. A lot of investors have now decided there's money to be made by playing the oil market. And so that on top of an inherent supply-demand problem is creating higher prices. And they are not going to go down.
Some of our economists in our brain trust, Tony, think that as much as $10 to $15 a barrel And they've reported that in their writing and then on this show, as much as $10 to $15 a barrel is due to speculation.
Yeah, I think $15 may be high. I would say it's more in the $5 to $10 range. Right now, it's partly speculation, partly uncertainty or concerns over potential disruption of the supply. You know, it's funny, if you flash back in the 70s when OPEC controlled, you know, the world oil market, we thought that was a terrible thing. Well, even worse now is OPEC has no control over the oil market. The Saudis cannot lower the price.
Right.
They have no more capacity. The oil that they can produce is not the type of oil that we want. And people don't understand. They think, well, the Saudis can just pump more oil. Not so easy.
Right.
It's heavy crude that they have available, and they're pretty much pumping at the limit. And so we do have issues. I mean, all the oil in the world seems to be in unstable environments, in the Middle East, Russia, South America. And we refuse to mount any kind of conservation effort, and as a consequence, the price of oil is going to go up.
Well, and the thing about the speculation element, Tony, one of the things that I pointed out is that when you're speculating, anybody who speculates, that's not speculating on one topic, one issue, one commodity is not a way of life. It's a means to an end. And, you know, you get in and you get out. And so the time will come when oil won't be such an attractive speculative commodity, and the guys will get out and oil prices will come back down.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think you're correct in that the premium that's in there on the speculators may decline, but inherently I don't think oil's ever going to come down in price.
No. Notice I didn't say it was going to come back down to $20 a barrel.
Right.
I think if we're lucky, we might get it down to 40. You're right, because it's costing more and more to get oil out of the ground right now.
Yes.
It's costing more and more to refine oil, and
right.
You throw in the increased supply and demand issues, which are not going to go away. They're going to get more dramatic.
Correct.
You throw all that in. No, I think, and I actually predicted this earlier in the year that we would never see. I don't think we'll ever see oil below $40 a barrel again.
I don't think we'll ever see oil at $40 a barrel, so I'm a little bit more pessimistic than you. I think we're much more likely to see 60 than we are to see 40.
Well, and of course, and to put things in perspective, in 2005 inflation-adjusted dollars, we've still got to go to $80 or so a barrel just to get to the level it was in 79.
Yeah, that's true, but that argument's a little bit fallacious when it comes to the impact on the economy.
That's cold comfort when you're putting $50 worth of gas in your SUV, isn't it, Tony?
That's
stand by. When we come
correct.
Back, we got more about the economy with our good friend, Tony Paradiso. Stay with us.
Give you my darling surprise. I'll be with you, darling, soon.
After the hour, I wish you could see the mountains, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm seeing out of my window here. Beautiful, the clouds rolling across the mountains here, east of Salt Lake City. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Some of you may have a beautiful view like that, for all I know. And of course, wherever you are, I'm sure you think your part of the world is beautiful too. I'm the same way. Tony, you're in New Hampshire. Tony Paradiso is in New Hampshire. You got some beautiful country up there.
Absolutely.
In the Granite
it's a gorgeous
State.
Day here today, and, you know, spring is sprung, and the trees are turning green, and it's very lovely.
The Granite State is a beautiful state. Tony, let's talk. By the way, before we go any further, I want you to give the audience your website and remind us where we can find your books.
My website is paramarconsulting.com. That's www.paramar, P-A-R-A-M-A-R, consulting, all one word, .com. And my book, you can find it on Amazon.com. You could also order it at any bookstore.
All right. And the book is called
The Management Minefield.
Management Minefield. I hope you'll check that out, folks. And folks, his website is an outstanding one. And, of course, many of you have seen his articles and you've listened to his archives on my website at jbsba.com. I hope you'll check those out as well, past archives that we've done, visits that we've had with Tony. Tony, give us some more of your thoughts on the economy. What do you think about the rest of the year? What should small business owners, how should we prepare for the rest of the year?
Yeah, I think we should expect that growth is going to decline. Everyone is now beginning to reduce their estimates to growth. I've seen some as low as 2%.
That's too dour. It's not going to get that low.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's going to get that low either. I think it's going to probably end up kind of settling in the 2.5 to 3% range. Not bad growth, but not stellar growth. I think everyone is going to continue to be a bit uneasy, and that's going to constrain spending. And international markets are just in the dumps. Europe is in jeopardy of.
Well, but see, they got Tony, they got systemic problems. You know, we've got temporary challenges. They got systemic problems that are much greater than just the economy, much greater than the marketplace. Tony, the thing that I think we have to realize about the economy, when you were talking about 2.5 to 3% not being stellar, you know what? We don't need to be growing at 4.5% a year. We need healthier, in my opinion, in order to sustain long-term healthy growth. We need to be in the below 4%. We need to be in the 3.3% year after year after year compounding, that kind of growth. That's the kind of economy I think that's going to build the strongest economy long-term. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think any growth between 3 and 3.5% is pretty good. It absorbs new entrants into the economy and provides some wage power to employees and those kinds of things. So everyone benefits at about 3, 3.5%. You get below 3%, and it starts getting kind of dicey. And the reason the international markets are important is because, obviously, for many companies, it's a big component of their business. So Europe, Japan, two economies that are in the doldrums right now, will affect larger businesses' ability to grow their revenues, and that trickles down to smaller businesses. China and there's other parts of Asia are certainly a bright spot and opportunities. So in some senses that balances, but in general, I think you have to plan to be much more clever in order to maintain your growth as a small business economic conditions begin to slow.
How much? One of the things that I've tried to get my audience to make sure they focus on over the years, Tony, is to get their heads out at least part of the time out of their neighborhoods, out of their county, out of their state, even out of the country, and pay attention to what's going on around the world and how those things are affecting all of our business.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't really, it's almost like the same as driving. You know, they say aim high in steering. You know, don't look at the car in front of you. Look at the car, 10 cars ahead of you to find out what's happening. And that's how you avoid accidents, right? Same thing in running a business. You kind of want to, you be able to preempt a quote unquote economic accident by understanding what's happening in a more macro level and a longer term level, because then it allows you to plan accordingly. And both on the revenue side and the expense side.
Well, and you said it earlier, when you were talking about customers of our customers. That's a very important thing for us to think about. If all we're doing is checking our customers' positions, then that's the same thing as you were indicating as driving, as watching the car in front of you. You need to be looking at the customers of your customers of your customers.
Right.
Two or three out and see what's happening in their world, because ultimately what's happening in their world is going to come all the way back to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. And we were talking also, so oil and energy is going to continue to be a drag on the economy. The other interesting thing that may occur,
30 seconds, Tony.
Okay, is China and a revaluation of their currency. And although many people think that's a good thing, what in effect it's going to do is raise prices, and it will raise prices on goods and services and potentially supplies that small businesses buy. So you're going to have to watch the expense side and be prepared for another drain on consumer spending. So that's something that we should look for.
If they revalue the dollar, it may help U.S. exporters, but it will hurt U.S. consumers, won't it?
I think it'll be a net negative because we export far less than we import.
That's well said. Tony Paradiso, give us your website one more time.
It's www.paramarconsulting.com.
Thank you for being here, Tony. It's always good to have you here.
Appreciate it.
See you next time. Tony Paradiso, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with George Hoffman. He's with Zions Bank. The show is brought to you by IBM and Office Depot.
And we are airplanes today.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.